Sing them over again to me.
There is an illustration shared by Jesus that is normally not found in our human nature. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, Jesus taught, "Forgive men when they sin against you." Brother David Johnson will share teaching on this challenge today on this Words of Life program. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus, the Savior and the Son of God. It is our desire for all who hear this program to come to Jesus in faith and obedience. We now worship our Lord in song. Please pray with me. Lord, we know that you are the one who makes all things new in Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much. As we pray, we share our thanksgiving and we also make our request to you that you will grant according to your will. Please be with each one who is upholding your name and protect the persecuted. Bless those who are ill with your healing and help each one to have the convictions to follow Jesus. We thank you for the hope that is in Jesus and that he is going to return. Please help us to be ready and mindful for that great event. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Using teachings of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Brother David Johnson will present, Forgive Men When They Sin Against You.
Thank you for listening to this radio broadcast of the Words of Life. And the Word of God is the Word of Life, life eternal through Jesus Christ. The title for the lesson is, Forgive Men When They Sin Against You. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. Listen to the Word of God. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Sobering words from the Lord Jesus. Yes, one of the most difficult things for most people to do is to forgive those who have sinned, have trespassed against them. To forgive those who have deeply wronged them or harshly hurt them. Certainly, it can be equally difficult for Christians to forgive those who have trespassed terribly against us. C.S. Lewis, a great apologist, past Christian defender of the faith, and writer and scholar, stated these words, quote, Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea, till they have something to forgive, end quote. So often, so very true. Consider the testimony of Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian who had to endure the horrors of World War II as she was in a concentration camp. In her own words, quote, It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. It was 1947. And I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed to hear most in that bitter, bombed-out land. And I gave them my favorite mental picture, maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind. I like to think that that's where forgiven sins are thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. This, according to the ancient Hebrew prophet Micah, chapter 7, verse 19. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People simply stood up in silence, and in silence collected their wraps, and in silence left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next moment, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a gush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights. The pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor. The shame of walking naked past this very man. I could see Betsy, my sister's frail form, ahead of me, her ribs sharp beneath her parchment skin. The place was Ravensbrück, and the man who was making his way forward had been a guard, one of the most cruel of our guards. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. "A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea." And I, who had spoken glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one single prisoner among those many thousands of women in and out of that concentration camp? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard there." No, he did not seem to remember me. "But since that time," he went on, "I have become a Christian. I know God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein." Again, the hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" And I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again needed to be forgiven by God, and could not forgive. Betsy, my sister, had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have sinned against us, who have injured us. "If you do not forgive men their trespasses," Jesus says, "neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15. A commentator writes these words, quote, "Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, explain his statement about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12 that says, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Debts in this context being our sins, that is, our spiritual debts toward God. And debtors are therefore those sinners which we have forgiven who sinned against us. Yet we must understand that God's forgiveness of sin is not based in salvation on our forgiving of others. That would be our earning it. Earning our salvation, or meriting God's forgiveness. A Christian's forgiveness is based on realizing he or she has been forgiven by God. Consider Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." It is personal fellowship with God in our ongoing sanctification that is in view in these verses of a believer's prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 and verses 14 and 15. Not about salvation. It's about sanctification and fellowship. One cannot walk in fellowship with God if he or she refuses to forgive others. End quote. So, what did Corrie ten Boom do, standing there, with her past tormentor, a previously cruel Nazi guard, holding out his hand, asking for her forgiveness, who was now a Christian, and admitted that he had sinned and done cruel things, and admitted that he had faith that God had forgiven him, and yet he wanted to hear it from her, one that he imagined he had also tormented. In her own words again, Corrie ten Boom, quote, "I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were also able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical or emotional scars. Those who nursed their bitterness, however, remained emotional invalids. It was simple and as horrible as that. And still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness, having the ability to forgive someone who has hurt us, harshly hurt us, forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. I prayed, Jesus, help me, silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You, Lord, supply the feeling. And so very woodenly and mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all of my heart. For a long moment we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. End quote. So, dear listener, how's our forgiveness of others? How's your forgiveness for others who have trespassed, who have sinned, who have hurt you? How's our fellowship with God in this important aspect of the Christian's life? This important aspect of our having a forgiving spirit. Bitterness is a terrible master. We must let it go. Are you able to do that by an act of the will? Knowing that God will give you the strength because it is His will that we forgive others who have trespassed against us. We have His word on that. Do so today.
To be as forgiving as we heard today, we must have the power of Jesus in our lives. If we can help you in your relationship with Jesus, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this program to listen to again or share with someone, please write to us and ask for program number 2101. That's CD 2101. We look forward to hearing from you, and we pray that God will bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.